Amen. Tell you right now, the music today has been outstanding, and I have thoroughly been ministered to by all the music today, and I am so thankful for those of you. I say it over and over, and I mean it every time I say it. Thank God for those of you that God has gifted with musical talent. Thank you for sharing that talent with us and ministering to us, and I'm just grateful that God has blessed us here at Fellowship Baptist Church with some folks that are musically gifted and talented, and they want to serve the Lord with it. And so as the pastor, I just say thank you. I appreciate it. It certainly helps me, and I'm grateful. And I don't think I speak alone on that. I think I speak for a congregation of people that are grateful. I can't sing a lick, and I mean that when I say it. You say, are you just saying that? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want me to grab a hold of that mic and start singing. God called me to preach, not to sing. Say amen right there. That's right. And I'm thankful that God doesn't give us all the same gifts, you see. God gifts us differently and severally, and I'm thankful that God gives some these gifts and others, and all of the gifts, though, are used to profit the body. And when we realize that, then there's no competition. Well, that's my gift. No, the only thing you have is what God gave you. See, when we realize that, then that cuts the competition out. That's when preachers stop competing on who's the best preacher. That's when musicians quit competing on who's the best musician, the player of an instrument, or who's the best singer, the singer of a song. When you realize all that you are and all that you have is because of the good grace of God.
Amen.
And brethren, that is just so. And God help me, and God help you. God help us to realize that he's given us these gifts for one purpose, and that is to exalt the name and the person of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, God's people will be blessed, and those that are outside the family of God hopefully will be drawn to him. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Today I'm going to get into the sixth commandment. We are talking about these Ten Commandments. And today I want to get into the sixth commandment. I haven't asked anyone in our reading of these scriptures to read beyond verse 21, but I'm going to ask you today when you get home to do that. I'm going to ask you to do it. I'm going to give you a little bit of a preview of what Moses said after God gave these Ten Commandments, and he restates them here in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, he states them in Exodus chapter 20. And then here is a second giving. That's what the word Deuteronomy means. It's a second giving, or stating, actually, a restating, a second stating of the law, the Ten Commandments. So after he gives these Ten Commandments, and Pastor David read them in your hearing again this morning, we've had them read for several Sunday mornings, you should be becoming familiar with them. I hope that you're learning them. You say, well, I already know the Ten Commandments. Well, then do them. Amen. You say, well, I already know them and do them. Well, then teach them. Well, I already know them and do them and teach them. Well, then teach them again. Right? You never outgrow the Ten Commandments, brethren. Listen, God has these commandments in place. And so he gave these Ten Commandments, and if you'll, not while I'm preaching now, but I pray you'll do this when you get home or one day later in the week. The children of Israel, who was initially given these, they said, you know what? This God, he's alive. Now you read it, he said, he's alive. And he speaks to man. What the God that we in our generation could realize that? God's alive. And he speaks to man. And these are some awesome, here's the word, these are some awesome commandments that he has given. And then in verse number 27, look at that. They said, Moses, you go near and hear all that the Lord, I'm in Deuteronomy 5, verse number 27, all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. A God that has these commandments, a God that speaks like this, surely we need to hear what he has to say, and surely we need to do what he said to do. And the Lord heard the voice, look at verse number 28, of the words of the people. And when you spake unto me, he said, God was listening when you told me that. That's what Moses is telling the people. And by the way, God listens when I tell people things about God too. God listens when I say things about God too. God is listening when you say things about Him. God's listening when you make promises and when you make vows and when you say you're going to do something or that you're not going to do something again. God's listening. And He said He was listening. And He said in verse number 28, He said, I've heard the voice and the words of this people, which they have spoken unto you, Moses, unto thee, and that's unto Moses. They have well said all that they have spoken. Now watch this. This is just so passionate here. This is God's heart. He said, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. What's happening here? God's saying, I pray that they would understand why I gave these Ten Commandments. I didn't give these Ten Commandments so that they wouldn't have joy in life. I'm not trying to be some cosmic killjoy to zap joy out of people's lives. I gave these commandments to help them and to keep them from harming themselves, that they might know what it is to really, really, really enjoy life as the way I gave it. He said, oh, that they would just realize in their heart why I gave them. You see, that's my impression upon your heart today. Oh, that we could realize once again why God does what He does. Why God gave these Ten Commandments. Why God gave us His Word. Why God gave us His promises. Why God gave us His Son. Why God gives us His grace. Why God shows us His goodness. Would to God that we could see this, brethren. Would to God. Oh, that there was such a heart in us that we could truly look beyond all the fanfare and all the exterior things and all the religious activities and all the things that are going on in the world of religion and have a true relationship with this God and realize in our heart that God has our best interest in mind. Oh, the devil wants you to doubt it. The devil wants you to doubt it. The devil will tell you that God doesn't have your best interest in mind. And you better fend for yourself. He's a liar. I said he's a liar. And the father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. God gave these Ten Commandments. And now we have navigated through those first four that you'll remember that are Godward. No other gods before me. No graven images. Don't you take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Keep the Sabbath day. And then he said last week we looked at honor thy father and thy mother. Number five. Now we're going to come to this one. Thou shalt not kill. Before I tell you what it does mean, you know, there was a day, and I'm just going to say it. There was a day as a pastor, as a preacher of the Word of God, I would not have to stand up and tell a congregation of people or say to a live stream audience what that did not mean, because we know what it did not mean. We know that it didn't mean don't kill animals. Say, preacher, you believe you ought to kill animals? Kill them and eat them. Now don't go home and kill your cat today and have it for dinner. Amen. You know, use a little common sense. Somebody say amen with me. But God, listen, God, when He says thou shalt not kill, don't twist and turn. Know what God is saying. Know something about the character of God. Use a little common sense. God said it's okay to kill animals, to bring them for sacrifice in the old economy. Didn't He say it? Sure He did. He enumerated what type of animal and how to carry out the sacrifice. It's okay to go out and hunt and kill, pray, and bring it home. When that prodigal son come home, the father said, kill the fatted calf. Amen. Let's rejoice, he said. Right? Jesus told that story, brethren. Jesus told that parable. You think Jesus is against killing cows? If He is, Brother Terry ain't going to make it. Where you at, Brother Terry? You say, what about you? Well, I eat what he kills, amen? So neither one of us is going to make it. But it's not about that. And so I have to stand and tell you, and I don't want to belabor this too much, because That's not what it's saying. You've got to know what God is saying. It's not about not shedding innocent blood that has shed innocent blood. When that one that has shed innocent blood, they're no longer innocent. God's not against the death penalty. God's for it. Somebody takes innocent blood, the Bible says, you say, I need some scripture for that. Genesis chapter 9. Write it down. God said, a man shed innocent blood, his blood's required of him. We get back to God's way, we'd have a lot less killing going on that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. There should never be a repeat offender when it's a murderer. I don't believe that way. Well, then you need to study the book. I'm telling you what the book says. The reason our country's in just a terrible mess is because we've gotten away from the book. And it starts with these Ten Commandments. And that does. Well, you know, I think wars are man-made. Many of them are. They are. I tell you, I'm suspicious of a lot of wars that our country's gotten into and even getting into. The longer I live, the more suspicious I become. But I do realize there's a time for war. Amen. Well, now the Bible don't teach that. Well, you must not have read Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Because the Bible says that there's a time for war and a time for peace. Matter of fact, there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. Yeah. God said, I'm giving you something. Brother Tracy, I appreciate what Brother Tracy said this morning. There's a time to stand and fight for what God's giving you. Yeah. Somebody tries to come in your home, read Exodus 22, Luke chapter number 22. Listen, I'm telling you what the book says this morning. Somebody tries to come in your home and take your family or take you, you have a right, actually a responsibility to protect, self-defense and protect your family. Amen. Telling you what the book says. Jesus said, go sell what you got and buy your sword. Read it. I'm telling you what this book says. Now, I'm not talking about just being careless now and frivolous. As Christians, we ought to believe in the sanctity of life. Amen. It's the gift of God. Amen. Life is a gift of God. But when people go trying to infringe on that and murder, this is what this says, thou shalt do no murder. Don't you kill. Don't you take innocent life. Don't you take it. It's not your place. Now, I want you to turn in your Bible. I want you to turn to a couple of scriptures. I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. Because in John chapter 10, find your place there. I'm going to get into some truth that I hope will be a help to you. Now, I told you what it wasn't. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, go home and read the scripture and then see how God changes your mind. Because I'm telling you right now, the things I just told you is straight out of that book right there. I want to be a man of the book. And I believe you want to be a people of the book. That's right. We're talking about, I'm of this religion, and I'm of that religion, and I'm this denomination, I'm of that denomination. I'm not opposed to denomination. I'm not opposed to religion as long as it's pure and undefiled. But I want to be a man of the book, and I believe you want to be a people of the book. I want to know what God says so I can do it. Amen. And so in John chapter 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and destroy. But I am come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. See, Jesus is the giver of life. But there's a thief. He's not talking about somebody's neighbor. All right? He's not talking about that person that's a thug in your community that's going around stealing at night. Now, he might be of this thief. But that's not the thief Jesus is talking about in this verse. The thief is none other than Satan himself. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if I don't get anything else today out, I want you to know something. Satan is a thief. He is a taker. That's all he is a taker. He wants to take everything that God has in store for man. Satan will kill your joy. He'll kill your purity. He'll kill your peace. He'll kill your passion. He'll kill you if God would let him. He'll take everything that God has ever given. Why? He's a thief. You hear me? He's a thief. You better pray for your preacher. Because when I stand up and I mean this, when I stand up and I tell the truth on the devil, he unleashes some devils of hell on me and my family for the next week. But I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm going to continue to tell the truth on that old slew foot. He's a liar and a murderer and a thief. And he wants to do nothing less than damn your soul to hell if he could. He wants to destroy you. He'll start out by deceiving you, lying to you. Why? Because he's the father of lies. And he'll deceive you and make you think that God's against you and that the Bible's not for you and that Christianity is just a way of religion. He'll lie and deceive and deceive. And then he goes from deceive to destruction. He destroys and he tears down and he manipulates. And then he goes from deception to destruction to damnation, because that is his end game. He wants to damn the soul of man to an eternity in hell. Say, preacher, why does the devil want to do that to me? I've never done anything to the devil, and I want you to listen to me now. Listen to me. I've never done anything to the devil. You might say, well, I'm on neither side. I'm not on God's side, not on the devil's side. I'm just me, and I have nothing against God, and I have nothing against the devil. I just want to be me. And I want to tell you something. Whether you realize it or not, you're either of God or of the devil. There's no middle ground. No middle ground. And the devil hates mankind because he hates God. Now, I want you to hear me this morning. If you don't get anything else, please get this point. The devil hates you. You say, why does he hate me? Why don't the devil leave me alone? Because he hates God. And he can't handle God. You listening? He can't handle God. See, I've been doing this a long time. And the more I talk to people, I get a little discouraged. Some folks look at it this way. Well, you know, if I were to say, and I want you to say it with me, I'm not going to trick you now. I want you to give me the opposite of good, bad. The opposite of right. The opposite of God. No. He's a creation of God. See, I think we've got this thing in our minds, brethren, that God is here and the devil's here. Oh, no. 1,000,000,000, listen, 1,000,000,000,000, quadrillion times, no. No. Creator, creation. Amen. Listen to me now. Because that we're walking around like, listen, we're walking around like we're walking on glass or eggshells. The Bible says that greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. You get with God and there's nothing the devil can do. Hear me now. This, you say, oh, preacher, I'm glad you said that. I'm going to charge hell with a water pistol. You better make sure God's with you before you charge anything. But with God for us, who can be against us? And all God's people ought to say, amen, preacher. Amen. I'm glad God's on my side. Amen. The devil, he's a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He wants to steal and kill and destroy. He's wrecking marriages and homes, and he's ruining people's lives. He is. But Jesus said, he said, now that's what the devil wants. And see, the devil hates God, but he can't do nothing with God. But you're created in God's image. You listening? I'm created in God's image. And so he's going to come to the thing that God loves the most. You think God loves animals more than he loves man? Some men do, but God doesn't. You think God loves trees more than he loves you? Some people do, but God doesn't. Jesus said, consider the sparrow. Consider the fowl of the air. He said, your heavenly Father loves you more than he loves them. You listening? He said, see those lilies of the field? He said, your Father loves you more than he loves them. So the devil's coming after you because you're the next thing to God. And he knows if he can get you. See, Jesus didn't die. Listen to me now. He didn't die for the trees. He died on one, but he didn't die for them. Jesus didn't die for the animals. He died for you.
Amen.
And me.
Amen.
And Satan said, if I can get to them, I can get to the heart of God. And that's why he's coming after you. And that's why you say, well, I haven't done anything to the devil. It doesn't matter. You're in God's image. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He shed his life's blood for you. And the devil can't do anything with God, so he's going to come to you and me. And the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and destroy. That's his mission, brethren. But what did Jesus say? I've come that they might have life. Life. I want you to think about this. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Life. That's what we're talking about this morning. Life. Thou shalt not kill. Life. God gave life. Are you celebrating life? Are you teaching your children about life? The sanctity of life. The sacredness of life. Or are you teaching your children the enjoyment of life? There's so many people that go through life and they're not even enjoying life. Can I tell you, you're looking at a man that's enjoying life. Are you enjoying life this morning? Amen. Yeah. You say, well, preacher, life has some hard spots in it. I know. I've been through a few hard spots. But you get a choice. You may not have a choice on if you're going to go through a hard spot or not, but you do have a choice on how you're going to respond in the hard spots. Are you in Genesis chapter 2? Look at verse number 7. In Genesis 2 and verse number 7, now for those of you that are getting a little concerned, I have a much longer introduction than I do a message. But my message is mainly my introduction. I want you to know that God has given us life. Amen. And that life is to be enjoyed, it's to be reverenced, it's to be honored. And those who do not, God's going to deal with them. God deals with people who takes his wonderful gift of life lightly. And that they think that it's within their cause and in their power to snuff out someone else's life. God said, oh, you're messing up. Thou shalt not kill. You following me? You teach your children that God deals sternly with people who do not take his commandments reverently. Genesis chapter number 2, look there in verse number 7. I want you to see, and parents, please listen to me. You're going to have to teach your children this. Your children's not going to learn this in the public education system anymore. I want you to listen to me. They're not going to learn it. Thou shalt not kill. Haven't learned it in years. God gave life. How did God give life? He spoke life. And then he breathed life into man. Look, if you would, in verse number 7 of Genesis chapter number 2. And the Lord God, are you in Genesis 2, verse 7? The Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, the dust of the ground. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Did you look at it? Did you see the three forms of life that God gave you? Did you see it there in that verse? Look, if you would, when it says in verse number 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That is physical life. God made your body. You listening? God made the body of man. Man didn't wash up on shore in some googly gosh and roll over in sand and a single cell amoeba become a long-tailed mammal that eventually evolved into a man. That is laughable. So, well, that's science. Now, as Pastor BJ said a couple of weeks ago, that might be scientist, but it's not science. And scientists will tell you stuff that's not science. There's a difference between scientists and science.
Right.
Say amen with me. So we have physical life. God's given you physical life. I trust that you enjoy it and take care of it and honor it. It's a gift from God. Number two, God gives us spiritual life. He does. When God, look if you would in verse number 7, the Bible says, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Can I tell you that same word breathe there is the word that's used when God breathed on the men of God, as holy men of old were moved by God as they wrote the scriptures. God breathe life into this book, the same life that God breathed into this book, he breathed into man. That's right. So now man is a spiritual being. You're not just a physical being. See, that's the life that God gave. See, that's the life that science can't, they can't explain that. They might can give you a little bit of a, and I mean it's just a little bit of a reasoning behind where your physical life come from, but we are not just a physical life. Thank God we are a spiritual being. Amen. We have physical life and we have spiritual life. This is the life that God has given us. And then notice the third kind of life. It's soulish life. It's psychological life. He said man became a living. The word there is not being. It's soul. You know where we get the word soul from? From the word psyche. From where the word psychology. It's that part of man that is intellectual. It's that part of man that reasons. See, God made man different. And so he made us in his image. He gave us this triunity that we are of body, soul, and spirit. And God gave us this life, brethren. God gave us this life. And he said, it's not your place to take it. I gave it. So number one, God gave us physical life, all right? God's given us a spiritual life. And we're going to talk about that life in just a moment. And then God gives us eternal life. I don't want to ask you to turn there. I want to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 30, if you would be turning there. The spiritual life, Deuteronomy chapter 30, the spiritual life that God has given us is through Jesus Christ. The eternal life, I should say. We have eternal life when we get saved by the grace of God. Can I ask you a question? Do you have eternal life? The gift of God. Listen, life is a gift. Listen to Romans 6:23. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So you followed me? Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give, it's a gift, I give unto them eternal life. Do you have eternal life? You say, well, I have physical life. Who did you thank for that life this past week? Who did you thank for your physical life? Say, I deserve physical life. No, God gave you this life. That's right. God gave you physical life. God gave me physical life. God gives man spiritual life. God gives man psychological life. And did you know that when we get saved in the grace of God, when we realize we're a sinner, when we come to God in humble repentance and say, God, I believe that Jesus died for me and was buried and rose again, I receive Jesus as my personal Savior. Our sins are forgiven. And we receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're saved, you have eternal life. If you're not saved, you are under the condemnation of the wrath of God, and you will die eternally, always dying but never dead. Now listen to me now. Under the wrath of Almighty God, because you have rejected the gift of eternal life, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Please don't do that. You don't have to, but if you reject Jesus, you will. Are you in Deuteronomy chapter number 30? And so now I ask you something. I'm going to ask you a question, then I'm going to give you three just thoughts, and I'll be through. Deuteronomy 30, Moses has given the children the Ten Commandments. And he said, well, now I want your preacher to make you live these commandments. That's not what he said. I want your parents to make you do this. That's not what he said. I want your neighbor to come over and force these on you. That's not what he said. Please begin reading with me in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 10. Are you there? If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto me, unto thee. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day good and death. I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. You ready? God said it's not out of your reach. It's not out of your reach. God said, I made it very clear. We are such a blessed people. We have the word of God in our native tongue. God said, I've set up churches about on every corner of most cities in your country. I've sent preachers to your door. I've sent family members to your house. There is literature that is printed and laid in places all across this country. And God said, I haven't hidden this from you in verse number 11. It's not up in heaven that you would have to send someone to get it, nor in the sea. He said, but the word, look at verse 14, the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. See, verse 15, I have set before thee this day life and death. I'm going to get it right in a minute here. The devil's working. He is. Life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whithersoever thou goest to possess it. Now watch this. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go and possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. You choose. Is that what we're being told here? You choose. You choose. Dad, you choose. Mom, you choose. 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 And then teach what you have chosen to your children. Choose it. Make a conscious choice. I am going to choose life. I am going to choose Jesus, the author of life. I am going to denounce Satan. I am going to turn from evil. I am going to turn from death. I am going the way of life. Teach it. Live it. It's important. He said, I'm laying it before you. You have a choice. But notice what your choices are, brethren. Please don't miss this. There's so many people that want a third choice. Life, death, and then another. No, it's life or death. It's good or evil. It's either right or wrong, brethren. Listen to me now. There's no gray areas in this. There's no gray areas. There's not some purgatory. There's not some holding cell. There's not some waiting place. There's not some extra time or some beneficial space that you may get to make your wrong right. You either choose God and life and good and what's right and trust Christ, or you perish in your sin. This country was built on preaching that message. Right there. Choose. Choose. That's all I'm asking today. Choose. What's your choice? What's your choice? I pray to God you would make the right choice. There's so much at stake here. And so I want to close with this. God has told me as a parent. God has told you as a parent. We said that these Ten Commandments were for the home. I hope you'll write this down. Number one, God has said, son, Dale Freeman, I want you to teach your home, your family, to protect the life that I have given. Shouldn't be going out. There's three main forms of death: homicide, suicide, infanticide. You say, what's that? That's abortion, which is murder. So when I had an abortion, well, you know what? There's a lot of people done things they shouldn't have done. I'm not here to pile on people, but I'm here to tell you what's right and wrong. So when I had to kill a man, well, now, I don't know all the details and all that, but if you have gone out and you've snuffed somebody's life out because of just hatred in your heart, or because you wanted something they had, or because you didn't like them, I'm telling you, the curse of God's on your life, and you need to get that taken care of. Homicide is wrong. Amen. Suicide is wrong. Listen to me. Suicide's never the answer. It never makes it better. The only thing it leaves in its wake is sorrow and shame. And I sure hope that if you're here today and you've contemplated that, that you would get you some help. Please listen to me today. It's real. It's real. You say, well, I don't feel it, preacher. Well, just because you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not real. It's real. And there are people that are hurting. There's people that are in darkness. There are people that have a black cloud, and Satan is trying to get them to do something that they'll regret. Listen, and their family will have to live with. And you hear me now. You do not have to make that choice. It's the same if there's someone here that's with child, or you have someone in your family that's with child, and they say, well, the only way I know out is just go and get the procedure, go and get abortion. Listen, that's not the answer. It's not the answer. It's not right. God said it's murder. You say, well, I would never take someone's life. I would never commit homicide. I would never commit suicide. I would never commit infanticide. Let me ask you, if you do this, would you ever sell alcohol? Do you know the Bible says, woe to the man that put a strong drink to his mother's lips, or to his brother's lips? A city built with blood. So, well, there's money in the alcohol industry. There's a lot of death in it too. Oh, I because of time, I won't read it, but listen, I've done my research on this thing. There's a lot of defenders for drinking alcohol, but there's no defense for it. God said it's wrong. Amen. God said it's wrong. Amen. You say, well, I kind of nibble in it just a little bit here and there, preacher. You're playing with fire. Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? That's a rhetorical question. You cannot. And God said in Proverbs chapter number 20, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Amen. Proverbs 23 says, yeah, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath babbling? Who hath redness of the eyes? But he that tarrieth long at the wine. You stay away from that stuff. Amen. You teach your children, stay away from that stuff. Listen to me now, folks. Listen to me. I know there's some sipping Baptists out here. I understand that, but you listen to me now. I don't mean in this congregation. I hope not. You need to go down. If there are, you need to go down to the local trauma unit. Find out what's going on down there. Listen to your preacher now. Might do us good to take our children on a field trip down to the trauma unit and let them see what that filthy stuff does to people. It sure has made a wreck of my life. Made a wreck of my family. And we could have member after member to stand up here this morning and say, let me tell you what that alcohol that people think's okay, that people think they can handle. You listening? A little social drink. It's the social drinkers that normally take them out on the way home. I'm talking about auto crashes. Do the research. Go down to the local trauma unit. Talk to somebody who works in the trauma unit. Been there as a pastor, okay? I've been there to visit. I've seen what it is. There's nothing that has shaken me to the core like being in a trauma unit. If you've never been there, you don't know. You see what that stuff does to people. I've been behind the closed doors, and you have too. I've seen the children that are beaten, and the women that are beaten, and the families that have done without because of that stuff. So don't you come to this preacher now and tell me, well, you know, I think it's okay as long as it's done in moderation. Baloney. That stuff is of the devil. And the devil's deceiving you. He's luring you. He's trying to ensnare you and trap you. Drugs the same way. Now listen to me. I'm about through. And some of you can say amen to that. You say, well, man, this seems like it's taking a turn here. This sounds like it's on a bad path. I'm trying to warn somebody this morning that if you think you can go down to the local pharmacy because it's got a prescription tag on it and you can pop those pills that make you feel different and put you in a different mental state and somehow you become reliant on them, you need to get you some help. That's going to take you to a place you don't want to go, my friend. Please hear me this morning. So I can buy it over the counter. This kratom. Now hear me now. It's addictive and it's wrong. Vaping. Listen, this stuff. You say, preacher, that's not a drug. It's addictive. You need to find out about these things. We're talking about life. We're talking about life. And a person that would sell you something, I can't tell you how many people I've dealt with as a pastor that I've had to look in their face and say, hey, listen, that guy's not your friend. Well, my friend sold me this. Your what? Sold you what? That's not your friend. Amen. You young people, listen to your preacher now. That's not your friend. Right. I don't care what he or she says. They can give you a bracelet with friend on it, a friendship bracelet. But if they're selling you that stuff and they're getting you that stuff, that is not your friend. It's of the devil. He's wanting to snuff out your life, make you miserable. And parents, you need to teach your children, stay away from that stuff. Tell them the truth on the devil. He's behind it all. Preacher, I don't do homicide. I respect life. I love people, and I'm glad you do. And I love my life, and I don't think I'd ever contemplate suicide, preacher. I'm glad. I'm thankful for that. Thank God. But don't think it couldn't happen now. And let us be there to be willing to help people. Someone contemplated infanticide, abortion. Let us be there to try to counsel and teach them and show them in love and compassion. That's not the answer, you see. Drugs and alcohol, those that push it and sell it, produce it. I'm telling you, the curse of God's on that stuff. So I wouldn't do any of that. Did you know the Bible says that he that hateth his brother is a murderer? Now, I didn't say that. 1 John 3:15 did. Write that verse down. 1 John 3:15. He that hateth his brother is a murderer. I've often wondered. I know that murder many, many times begins with hatred in the heart. But I've often wondered what John was talking about there. Who's getting murdered? The person being hated or the person hating? I don't know too many things that'll cut you off from God and joy and all that God has to offer than a hatred and a bitterness in your heart. It'll take from you, won't it? Won't it, folks? Come on. It will. So, we're to protect physical life. Number two, provide social life. And then number three, present spiritual life. And this is where I want to close. I'm going to ask you to stand. Thou shalt not kill. There's a lot in that. That is one commandment that could probably be preached on a month. There's a lot in it. But I tried to make what was applicable to us. The devil wants to kill. He's come to do that. John 10:10 says he has. He wants to destroy. But God wants to give you life and life more abundantly. And he has through Jesus Christ. Enjoy the life that God has given you. Take care of your temple. I could get into these things, and I tell you, I've been convicted. God expects me to take care of the life that he's given me. And he expects me to honor him with the life that he's given me. He expects me to serve him with the life that he has afforded me. expects you to do the same. I want to close with this. Protect the physical life. Okay? Provide a good social life for your family. Remember those three F's that we talked about? Be firm. Right? Be fair. Be fun. As a father, if I could have gone back, I would have done things a little different. I'm proud of my children. I am. I thank God for them, my grandchildren. And I know you are too. But there's not a one of us that could say, you know what, if I could roll back the clock, I'd do some things differently. I'd probably be a little more fair. You thought I was going to say less firm, didn't you? But no. No. Nah, some things never change. No. I can honestly say that, no. And I was firm. But God made me that way. His word made me that way. God has a firm hand. I'd be a little more fair and a lot more fun. But I'm not through. And God's still working on me. And God's still working with you too. So provide that social, right? Protect the physical. Teach your children that life is a gift from God, and protect it and honor it and respect it. And then provide that social to where they can flourish in that atmosphere and they can enjoy the things of God around family and extended family. And then the third thing is present spiritual life. I'm going to ask the pianist to play softly, and I want you to consider something with me.